You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones has crossed the threshold of her first 100 days in office. This is an informal early benchmark of leadership, priorities, and political effectiveness. These first few months of tenure often reveal the style of leadership and signals what we could expect for the rest of the term. And it's a four-year term, so there's a lot more to come. Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones now joins us in the studio to discuss 100 days and beyond. And Mayor Jones, welcome back to The Source. It's great to have you.
Good to be with you.
And so you had 100 days. It's kind of a weird benchmark that we have. It's weird we have for our office holders, particularly when they're new in office. So what did you think of 100 days?
Well, there was a lot that went on, obviously, look, I think it's important that we are focused on the things that are going to be most important for our community in the near term and in the long term. And
yeah,
we saw some of that, actually, whether you talk about, frankly, all the actions around the term sheet and the Spurs Arena, whether you look at, flood projects, even as, my actions to go to D.C. and identify some additional missions that we may be able to bring here to San Antonio in light of the discussed mergers of some of those things. So as well as, of course, the budget, right? The way in which we work to close the gap in 26. But as I have said, routinely all throughout that budget season, we really need to be thinking about 27. And we need to think about our financial situation overall, just not the budget, but also, again, that bond, the upcoming bond, as well as how we really are looking at the benefit of these major economic development deals and how they can really strengthen us, not only for the term, for our terms, this city council's term, but really setting our community up for success. Some of these things that will, of course, outlive us, outlive all of our tenures.
The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, if you want to call in a question or comment for Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. So you mentioned we had the $20 million shortfall in this budget year, fiscal year 2026, managed to close that without gutting any essential services here in San Antonio. But you've already been looking at the looming $150 million deficit that we're expecting in 2027. Mm-hmm. This is not a problem that's unique to San Antonio. It's happening to all major cities because of changes in federal grants and all sorts of situations. So
not only, I mean, other communities outside of here that are not as reliant on their property tax are feeling it a little bit differently. As you point out, yes, I've focused on 27, also focused on 2030, though. Again, at my time at the Pentagon, you look at actually several budgets at the same time and in four-year increments. And so I'm very concerned about what 2030 looks like. That gap grows to $220 million if we don't help ourselves. And that's why I am constantly looking at these deals. And again, you heard like a broken record, things like revenue sharing, et cetera, those things that can really help us strengthen our general fund based on the services we know we want to provide to our neighbors, to our constituents, and frankly, that they rightly deserve.
And so probably one of the biggest stories that you've had to deal with was the Project Marvel and the proposed Spurs Arena downtown and the term sheet and the study looking at the financial impact of the of this proposed arena. So we're coming up on the November 4th election, where it's going to be before Bexar County voters. This has been a process for you. You hit the ground running right as that thing was coming to the forefront. Suddenly what was vague and uncertain, now less vague, I guess.
Your words.
Yeah. How are you feeling about how that came up as you took office?
Well, I think you've heard me say this. I was very surprised. If you would have told me before I got in the seat that this city council would vote to approve a term sheet worth $489 million absent an independent economic study to truly understand the ROI. Can we, you know, answering basic questions, can we support this number of stadiums? What is, in fact, our, is our idea of the impact on general fund? If you would have told me that we were going, that that my council colleagues would support voting on such absent that independent analysis, because again, the only numbers that we have at this point on the Spurs arena in particular are from the Spurs consultant themselves, I would have said you're crazy. Because again, I grew up professionally in a place where you do your due diligence. And again, how I grew up, folks live or die by that due diligence. And there are some real economic consequences as a result of us not doing that. I would argue having that independent analysis would have allowed us to be in a better negotiating position. Actually, just to go back to your first question, I think my first 100 days is really marked by my repeated demonstration of my commitment to due diligence. Whether you're talking about a $489 million term sheet or whether you're talking about animal abandonment, I'm not just going to sign my name to something, nor sign our community up to something if I don't fully understand it, if I don't think it's been well thought out, and if I can't explain to people why we're doing what we're doing, right? So I will continue my commitment to that demonstrated as already in several ways, because again, that is what the people of San Antonio deserve.
Let's go to a caller. We have Anthony. The number is 833-877-8255. And Anthony, you're on the air with Mayor Jones.
Good afternoon to you both. Mayor Jones, hats off to you, ma'am, for looking out for the people of San Antonio. A woman of integrity, and just want to say I appreciate you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
And so what do you feel when you hear calls like that? You get a lot of people telling you, you know.
You know what's funny? And thank you again to the gentleman that shared that. My inbox is 4-1. And it's so funny, the number of emails that start off, and they all kind of start off in the same way. One, I didn't vote for you. Two, not even sure I like you. But you know what? I'm with you on this issue. Because we all want revitalized downtown. We all want the Spurs to stay here. I think we also know that we need some trust in the financial analysis that has been done that shows that this is going to make sense for our community in the long term. Because I think, you know, rightly so, our neighbors are not only talking about that gap that we've got to close in 27 and what that may look like in 2030, but, you know, look, those federal cuts are coming. Those federal cuts are coming. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Children's Health Insurance Program, SNAP. One in eight Americans rely on SNAP. We were just named the third most impoverished metro area in this country. So you're damn right I'm going to do my due diligence and make sure that we're setting our community up for success. And if folks have a problem with that, I think that says more about them than it does about me. Right? The numbers are very clear. We need to reduce uncertainty. You do that through due diligence, and you do that by taking time to really negotiate in good faith on behalf of the people of San Antonio, and I'll continue doing that.
Okay, let's go to Tom. Tom has called in, and Tom, you're on the air with Mayor Jones.
Yes, Mayor Jones, I voted for you. I think maybe that you've made a couple of missteps along the way.
And we just lost all our callers. So what happened there? So he was going to tell you how good you're doing.
That's what I heard.
That's according to my notes. He says that you're doing good. So
works for me.
The one thing.
But you know what? Like to your point, though, at the end of the day, I think what is most important is not the comments on social media. It is not even the comments that come into my inbox. At the end of the day, you know, again, I was raised in the Air Force, right? Those core values: integrity first, service before self, excellence in all you do. I've got to be able to look myself in the mirror each night, knowing one, that I did right by my community and put in a good day's work, and I can always say that. So I appreciate the good comments. I appreciate the bad comments, but I've certainly got kind of a moral compass that guides my actions and my service to our community.
So 100 days in, we get a feel for your leadership style. And so one thing I've noticed is you're tough.
As nails.
And so, you know.
And funny. Don't forget funny.
Okay. I haven't caught up on that.
But cut his mic.
So, you know, your leadership style, you're tough, you have your, you know, your way of doing things. But how is that working with building a coalition on the council?
Well, I think, you know, coalition is important. I think results is also important, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I think we have to think about how we are moving the needle for our community. Consensus on bad policy is not a good outcome for our community. Right. So I think certainly consensus is important, given obviously the form of government that we have. But I think it's also really important to interrogate the information that we receive and also, frankly, ask why we don't have some information.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have that? And in part because, you know, we were elected to represent our people. Not work on behalf of lobbyists, not do all these other things, right? So, you know, I know why I'm in this seat. I know who I serve. And I think it's really important that, again, we just continue to do our due diligence. As I've said, I am committed to being prepared, proactive, and pragmatic. That is how I think we move our city forward on so many of these most pressing issues and in light of the fiscal challenges we are and will continue to face.
Right, so we're taking a break here. I'll get some other callers on the air when we come back. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. There's a lot more days to come. The 100 days is going to, it's like a small fraction of all the days that Gina Ortiz Jones will be mayor of San Antonio. It's a 4-year term, lots of challenges ahead, lots of headlines to come. What can we expect in the future? And we're going to take a break here and we'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Are you ready to amplify your impact through workplace giving? Many employers match donations, doubling or even tripling your support for TPR's local and global programming. Some employers even match gifts from retirees and spouses, so your contribution can go even further. Check if your company participates today by visiting tpr.org/workplacegiving.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With us in the studio, Mayor Gina Ortiz Jones. We're talking 100 days and beyond in her term. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. Let's go to Bennett. And Bennett, you're on the air.
And beyond in her term.
And you can turn down your radio, Bennett. That would help.
8255. Let's go to Bennett. And Bennett, you're on the air.
And beyond and her term.
Yes, I understand the city of San Antonio has $20 billion in outstanding bonds. The budget is about $1.2 billion. How are we going to repay all that?
All right, Bennett, thank you for the call. So, Mayor Gina Ortiz Jones.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of those bonds are revenue bonds, they're general obligation bonds. And so, I mean, but the point you're exactly raising is why I think it's really important that we take a hard look at the economic development that we are doing in our community, not only as we repay the debt, as you point out, but also to ensure that the investments that we are making make sense. I just had a meeting the other day with Greater SATX, which is, you know, works very closely with our economic development department here in San Antonio. And my eye was drawn immediately to one of the charts at the very beginning of their strategic plan. And it's a chart that compares us to other city, kind of peer cities and aspiring, our aspiring cities, right? Cities we aspire to be like. And it's 10 of them. And my eye was immediately drawn to wage growth. We are dead last. Dead last. And so when we are thinking about you know, being the third most impoverished community, metro area in the country, on top of, you know, there's lots of economic development deals going on, I think it's important that we have the data that shows that what we are doing will, in fact, move the needle, right? And so those are the kinds of things that, because, yeah, not only do we have to be, you know, smart about how we repay the debt, But also we've got to make sure that when we forgo things like property taxes, right, or sales or any of those other things, that we in fact can communicate to our folks that we are doing these things as investments and they are the rate of return outweighs the cost.
So I have this book and I showed it to you during the break. Mm-hmm. It's called San Antonio Austin Mega Region Opportunities and Challenges in the Lone Star State. Henry Cisneros, Bob Rivard, David Hendricks are the co-authors. That looks at San Antonio and Austin as it comes together as this mega metro area and how that can be done. It's happening whether or not we participate in this function or not. It's happening because of growth. Mm. But if we put some thought and planning into it and coordination, we could, rather than grow a giant tumor between these two cities, we can have, you know, healthy tissue that would allow, you know, to address some of the issues that you're talking mm-hmm. about. So have you any conversations with how do we do having a metro, mega metro city that will be effective?
Yeah, I think this is it's important as in the conversations that I've had. It is actually quite helpful for San Antonio to be, for the lack of a better phrase, lumped in with Austin, if you will. In part because it's 15% higher cost to do business in Austin than it is versus the national average, and it's 10% cheaper in San Antonio. So it is very helpful that to be considered as part of this mega region as folks are, populating the areas in between so that we are very kind of increasingly thought of as a cohesive unit. So not only are there advantages, because then we may be considered for opportunities that we might not have been had they not even thought about Austin, recognize that it's much higher, costs much more to do business there, and see San Antonio as another viable option. We saw this, frankly, with some of the military missions, right? Given the cost to set up shop in Austin and how we were able to do some of those other things now here in San Antonio as a result. I think when I also think of Austin, though, I think it's in order for us to compete for as many of these economic opportunities as possible, I think it's important that we look to things also like a recent McKinsey report. I think I may have shared this last time, but there's a recent McKinsey report and it talks about, one of the things it talks about rather, is the lower relative productivity of our micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises. And what they do is they judge those three kinds of enterprises versus large enterprises to see how productive they are. Now, the national average is going to be 49%. San Antonio, we are 34%. So that's a significant drop off. And as compared to our peers are 43%. So we're significantly off from the national average. We're even significantly off from our peers. And so while I think it's important we, think about the connection with Austin, I think it's also really important at the same time we are working to strengthen our base here. That is important because 52% of our workforce works in one of those kinds of enterprises. And because of that relative lack of productivity, they only contribute 27% of our GDP. Now, that report goes on to talk about what are the things that contribute to that, right? Obviously, the high rate of poverty, lower educational attainment rates, the national average for STEM enrollment in higher education is 18%. We're only at 14%. So there's a number of foundational things that contribute to that, which is, again, why it's important that we are advocating not only for strong economic deals that allow us to strengthen the resources that we provide to our community, but also more thoughtful, I think, about how we are supporting some of those enterprises so that they are as productive as they can be in the near and over the long term. And I think working closely with Austin helps us do that.
All right, let's go to the caller. We have Henry, and Henry, you're on the air with Mayor Gina Ortiz Jones.
Hi, Madam Mayor. Helped elect you. I voted Democratic, and I always will vote Democratic. You're a good mayor, or you're going to be a good mayor. You just got into the job. David Martin Davies is doing his job because it's 100 days, and we're hung up on a base 10 enumeration system, and we got to go through the sacrament of 100 days. But hey, you got years, okay, and you're going to do fine. But you got to get used to the job. You're a new girl, and this is a new job to you. So don't worry about it.
All right,
we're very nice here.
All right, Henry, thank you for that call. And so you want to get your reaction to Henry.
Thank you, Henry. I think, you know, to your point, there's been a lot that's gone on in the 100 days. And some of the things I certainly did not anticipate, but I'm also, frankly, happy to have landed. One of the things I was just sharing, you know, obviously in my first 100 days, I didn't know I was going to have the opportunity to recruit a Taiwanese delegation here that is looking at partnering and setting up shop in Texas. But you know what? The opportunity presented itself, and we did a really good job. And it's called TEMA, the Taiwanese Electrical and Electronic Manufacturing Association. I think they're collectively responsible for like an eighth of the country's GDP, right? So advanced manufacturing jobs that are really, really good paying jobs, the kinds of things we need to bring here to San Antonio. And they were focused on focused specifically on electrical vehicles and UAVs, so drones. So we had a really good delegation. And I know, and it's funny, my colleague who helped me put that on as part of the Taiwanese delegation, he said, I know you all did well because the Taiwanese delegation only sent one photo back to their Taiwanese business journal, and it was their photo of the delegation that came to San Antonio with the San Antonio leadership team and the lion dance that we hosted. So it's always the personal touches that I think people remember, and I'm actually most importantly thankful that we're actually already hosting another related delegation to that. So I'm going to be very aggressive in seeking those kinds and cultivating those kinds of opportunities, because San Antonio is ripe, I think, once people hear about the strength of the ecosystem we have here.
Let's go to Ben, and Ben's on the phone. Ben, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for running and winning. You know, I support you, but I'm going to bring up another pen out of so many projects you got. The homeless, why don't we step up with the church? Hmm. The responsibility of the homeless is the church. And sure, because we really don't have a separation between church and state. So they can contribute and handle, you know, a tax, if you want to call it a tax, okay? There was a guy in the Bible that was a tax collector. So anyway, if you read it correctly, it's the church responsibility. And then, of course, okay, the city can back it up, and, you know, right, Haven of Hope, the food, sure, bank's wonderful. Man, San Antonio has so much.
All right. And thank you, Ben. Appreciate your calling in there. So working with faith-based communities, that seems to be a way to and find other ways to leverage people who want to do good things. This is how San Antonio can still provide services.
Yeah, well, I'm not aligned on all of his comments. I think the separation between church and state is actually very, very important. But I at the very beginning of that, I did think about immediately, frankly, the reason I think it is important that we have, you know, pragmatism, but also compassion. Being raised in the Catholic Church, it's all about, you know, taking care of the sick and feeding the poor, and helping others when you can, right? And so I think, you know, the homeless piece is significant, and you know it's a public safety issue for them as well as a public health issue, as well as an economic issue. I have unfortunately heard too many business leaders that office downtown about the challenges they have as a result of the homeless, activities around homeless communities. So I think it's important we look at it through all of those lenses. I am also, though, as importantly, focused on how we can prevent the homeless population in our community from growing. We're actually quite financially vulnerable. If I remember correctly, during the Point in Time survey, they shared a $100 increase in the median rent in our community leads to a 9% increase in homelessness. So again, wow, there's many people that are already on the verge. And again, that's why it's so important that we think about how these federal cuts, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, SNAP, how that is going to impact already the most vulnerable, and how we can prevent people from entering homelessness.
Mayor Gina Ortiz Jones, 100 days done, many more days ahead, more challenges. Thank you so much for coming in the studio today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's The Source from Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.